believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laugh. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Welcome to Bring Back the Family, block by block, focusing on you. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, block by block, focusing on you. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge the word of God, a scripture, and a prayer, acknowledging God, and then we'll get right to it. And first, I'm going to acknowledge our host that we have with us today. We have our very own Jacqueline Vandergriff. We have Ms. Rebecca Johnson, Ms. Callie Pierce, our junior host, Jacob Ripwan, and our young adult host, Shania Cox. And then, you know, we have our brilliant, awesome, wrap-it-up host, Pastor Rose, from Running for Christ Ministries and his biblical perspective, and what does God say about all of this word that we're having, okay? All right, so we're going to start with our scripture. Ms. Jackie, hello. Okay, well, if I open up... Wait a minute. If I open up her mic, then she can hear. You can hear her. Okay.
I had this whole greeting out here saying welcome to all of the other hosts, to you, Ms. Rebecca, Ms. Callie, Ms. Sanaya, Mr. Jacob, Pastor O, the audience, everybody. I just want to say that tonight we are just sending out love. So I'm going to start off with the scripture, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest with yourself. Evaluate yourself. Measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take that delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confidence, hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord lessen to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Vandergriff. You know I love those scriptures. I am Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Lord, you are the only true and living God, the only one that guides us on right paths and sustains us. We're thankful to serve a God that is so kind and generous and merciful. We're grateful for all the work you have already done. We thank you for lessons learned and for answered prayers. We thank you for going ahead of us to make this new day, for breath and strength, and for this moment to be in your presence. We thank you for your goodness and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow, fall short every day. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or participating in Bring Back the Family tonight. We thank you for opportunities to guide every child that crosses our paths. We know that we can't even imagine the great plans you have for them. We ask that you show us how to teach them to be well-rounded and productive, and how to provide all the children with the support and resources they need. We ask that you help each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. We ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty and holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca, and thank you, Sister Jacqueline. Appreciate you guys. Okay. Bring back the family. Bring back the family. It is a call for us to wake up, to get engaged, to make a difference. It's time for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better, because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible? And who is willing to take responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch, running the race, doing great things, because we prepared them? We can do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community. Okay? They didn't want us to be a burden or a nuisance to our neighbors and the people around us, and if we even got to go around the world. But they had us prepared so that we would not be nuisance. We'd be usable, okay? We'd be productive. So just picture it, the young people, and just not having to worry about them while they're out in the world, right out in the streets, out, you know, doing their thing. You don't have to worry about them because you prepared them, okay? You don't have to worry about them being out there making a bad name for themselves or for their families. Okay, so are we ready to get busy with the challenges and the changes and the support and the sacrifices, just meeting the youth and people where they are in order to make a difference in this world? Who is willing? Who's willing? Who's willing to do that? Okay, so Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. Okay? So what do we propose to do? Bring back the family. Propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, So we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what it is that they need to make it in this world, okay? And so we propose to do something on our block, do something on your block, okay? We've already started. Just imagine doing something on your block for the youth that live on your block that you see, okay? And it's about sharing, caring, being a positive role model, being a good example, that our youth can see, learn, and live by, okay? And it's just something simple like we used to do, just share and care. Everybody on our block and in our community had what they needed. They had what they needed. And so because they shared and they cared about one another and they cared about each one, whether they had what they needed. It was plenty for everybody. And if it wasn't plenty, we still shared. Okay, so and right now we have plenty. We have so many books in our homes. We have food. We have a lot, plenty in our homes that we could just give away. Okay, books, workbooks. Take the kids. You know, just get to know them. You know, first of all, get to know them. When you try to do something on your block, you got to get to know the parents. You have to be friendly. You have to be inviting. You have to be happy. You have to, you know, just talk to the kids when you see them. And just give them some things. Give them some books to read. It is so important for our youth to read books, okay, so that they can learn some words, so they can learn the right words to say. Because everybody else are teaching them, and they might be teaching them words that we don't want them to learn. So let's give them some books, some workbooks. Take them on some outings, some field trips. Some learning activities. Just take them outside. Have some outside activities that they can do. Play ball, kickball, volleyball, basketball, football. Just throwing the ball back and forth. Because that's what we used to do. Now kids are staying in the house. They're glued to the TV. They're glued to the video games and things like that. And now when they say they're obese, they really are obese. So let's get them outside. It's our responsibility to want the best for our youth, okay? And so we plan to do this block by block. Give a career fair. Do a book club. Education awareness, career awareness, a career fair. And just, you know, just showing simple love and kindness. Those are the things that we need. Okay? All right. So we're going to talk about our youth, as always, because they are the most important to us. Youth support and preparation for their future. Resources are the key. Okay? What will the future be like for your youth? For your youth, or just think about the youth around you that you see every day, the youth that you see on your life every day. What are they doing? What do you expect that they have a vision or thinking that their life will be? Okay? So what do you think their future will be? Okay? So what will the future be like for your child? What support and preparation are you making to ensure they are solid, grounded in their goals so they can make it in the future? We have a lot of background noise. I know you're coming.
Yes, it's really bad.
Okay. Yeah, we have some background noise. Okay, that's better now. Thank you. Okay. And so like I said, what will the future be like for your youth and the youth around you? We can see what's going on in the world right now today. What support and preparation are we making to ensure that our children, our youth are solid and grounded in their goals so they can make it in this world? As we ponder and see and hear and listen to to what is taking place all over the world concerning our youth. What do you think about? What do you think about when we hear all of the violence and the tragic things that's going on with our youth right now today? Okay, so what's our role? How do we change the mindset and get our youth to think and want the best for themselves and know they are the best? How do we get our parents to be committed to supporting their youth's education and well-being? We are on the road to recovery with our youth, and we refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. Do you refuse to give up? Nobody gave up on us. So we have to keep pushing. We have to keep working. Okay? We have to keep pushing. We have to keep working so that we can bring our youth and our kids up to where they're supposed to be, being proud of themselves and knowing that they're the best and wanting the best for themselves. So where do we go from here? Our youth need our help. They need our help now more than ever. We are all in this thing together. Okay? Give a youth a vision that doesn't own a vision. Okay? If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. That's a promise. If we don't help them now, we'll be victims of not helping later. Okay? Those of you that are listening, share. We have a new number. Sent out notifications today, and I just hope that people paid attention to our new number and so that they can get involved in what we're doing here. Okay? So 515-605-9781. That's our new number, and we're going to keep pushing it until, you know, everybody gets it, okay? All right. So, yes, I have my hostesses here, Jackie and Miss Jackie and Miss Yvette. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today.
The background noise is bad.
Yes. There's something going on in the back.
That's better.
Okay. Yeah. Miss Jackie?
Yes, yes.
Something's going on in the background.
There's no one in here but me, so I can't say that I don't know what it might be at my end because I'm the only one in this room that I can see. I can't, you know, maybe I have some company around me that I don't see, but as far as I know, I'm the only one in this room.
Yeah, okay. It's better now. Yeah. It's better now. You know, being a parent is a job, and anything we do is a job, you know. But we do it, even when we go on our jobs, they expect us to do a good job at what we do, right? They expect us to be on time. They expect us to put out the work that they give us to do. And we're committed to doing that. Most of us, anyway, committed to doing that. And so it's really just work. It's work. Taking care of our kids is work. It's a sacrifice. And it's something that they didn't ask for. We brought them here. So it's important for us to give them what they need to make it. It's a lot of things that we don't know, that we're finding out as we're helping our youth, as we research and see how hard it is to get our youth in school the ones that want to go and are willing to go and have the grades to go, it's still a challenge for them. It's still a challenge for them to get in school because there's so many resources out there that we don't know about and that we're finding out now that our kids can get, can access resources, but they're missing out because they don't know. And who's telling them? A lot of things are being kept away from our youth as far as resources. So that they know it will be hard for them, and then it gives them an opportunity to maybe say, well, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. Because it's a lot to it. It's a lot trying to go to school. And it's a lot trying to get the resources and the funds that you need in order to go. But there's so many resources out there as we have been helping these young folks and trying to guide them in the way that they should go as far as, you know, the schooling, the education. We're running into things that we're finding out that they can get. And so we're going to bring those things to you as we get them. And so it's like the whole system needs to be overhauled, redone, revamped. And so, but the parents really have to play a better role, an important role. And I noticed that people that are parents that are really involved in their youth education, I noticed that they keep up with them, a tightrope. You know, they keep a tightrope on them, and they make sure that they're being taught. They engage them, put them in different activities. They make sure that they check their homework and find out where they're lacking, or if they're lacking. And so, like I said, it takes a whole lot to be committed to our youth. You know, we shouldn't look for the government to come into our homes and help us. It's time for us to help ourselves. I was taught to not ask anybody for anything. Because then you'll never be disappointed, and that's what I learned, that I'm never disappointed because I'm not used to anybody doing anything or giving me anything. And you'll never be disappointed, and it'll teach you to work hard. It'll teach you to work for what you want, okay? Your seed, how valuable is your seed? How valuable is your child to you? That you would take time to make sure that they have what they need. Okay? It's like adults are still trying to find their way and trying to do and be about themselves as far as what they need instead of taking care of what the next generation needs. Okay? Like I used to say when I used to go to church at a church, they were so concerned about how you dress. So it was a fashion show. And so it's like we're still doing that, you know. People are worrying about their dress, how they dress, having a fancy car, a nice home. So those are adult things. And so we tend to get attached to the material things, and then we forget about the precious things that's right there that we're looking at, that we know that they need to be able to make it as well. Okay? They need to make it. And we're still, you know, trying to make it work for ourselves. Okay? Priority. If something is a priority to you, okay? So an example of a diamond ring, a new diamond ring, if it was dusty and dirty, what would you do? You'll wash it, polish it, shine it up, put it somewhere to protect it. Okay? So that's precious to you, because their diamonds are precious, then that's how we should do our children. We should make sure that they're cared for 100%, that they're doing what they need to do in school so that they can make it in this world. Because they're going to leave you one day. And once you put them out there, you want to make sure they're ready. Okay? Resources, like I said, we're going to get some resources to you, because there's so many things out there that we don't know, that's been kept from us. And so when you go digging and digging and digging, you find things, okay? And so we were talking earlier about a parent campaign, putting time in with your youth, your child, your children. One day a week for 4 hours. Okay. So out of those 4 hours, if you can do it in one day, you could do it in 2 days. Mix those hours up within 2 days. You mix them up in 3 days, or you do them all in one day. In those hours, you need to know what they are doing in school. Okay? And if they're not doing, if their grades are falling down, find a way to pull them up. Okay? And find out where they need to be in order to keep their grades up. Don't let them just fall down. Make sure that You know, and that's just time, that's quality time. One day out of the week for 4 hours. Or 2 days out of the week. Mixing those 4 hours up. Just to make sure that they're okay. That they're doing what they're supposed to do in school. Okay? And then pull them up. It's important to have to keep a good grade point average if you want to get in a certain school, or if you want to do a trade. They have to know the basics. Okay, they have to know the basics. And it's important for them to keep their grades up so that if they want to go to a certain school, they'll be able to go. Okay? So, Miss Jackie and Miss Rebecca, hey.
Well, let's see here. Miss Rebecca, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
That's a good question. How about I'll go first?
That's good.
All right. I stumbled on it on a YouTube video that tells of one skill that will keep you in a high income. And that skill is writing. He described it as a meta skill that breathes life into any other skill. And this particular guy is emphasizing skills related to digital writing. And with digital writing, you can create captions and emails and web pages and video scripts and blog posts, and you can write books. You can write social media posts. You can write newsletter articles and communicate your ideas effectively. So communicating your ideas efficiently can take you further at your job and in all your relationships. Or you can use this skill to create income for yourself and never need a job, because content creation is in demand. And this particular guy, his name is Dan Koe, K-O-E, and he wrote a book called The Art of Focus. And the quote out of his book is this: writing is a great skill to learn because it pairs with any other skill or interest. If you can write, you can do whatever you want and distribute the value you discover from those pursuits. So writing allows you to make a living from living. The problem is that most people aren't, unquote. So to become good at writing, you need to practice, but you also need to read. Reading skills are improved by reading more. And we listened to those on this show with large families that were blessed with God-fearing parents to train them up in the way that they should go. And all the people I know that had the benefit of coming up in a stable family and with the word became well-rounded people. So I grew up with almost no spiritual training, but once I decided to make reading the Bible a priority, I think I was about 28, I noticed the changes in me right away. So this experience makes me see that the word can transform a person even as they read and don't understand what they're reading. So based on this testimony, please introduce Bible reading in your family as early as possible. It will heal their hearts and their inward parts. Even as I read and study the Bible now in my adult life, I notice improvements to my health. The word heals ailments, attitudes, past hurts, broken hearts, anxiety, and depression. The Bible is filled with wisdom, and it has the answer for every situation. And Sister Kathy and I were talking about providing situations for children that will give them habits and conditioning that will serve them later in life. So if we repeat the same thing for 21 days, that will create a habit, and we can build on these habits. And the most important thing to start is reading, a habit of reading and developing a love for reading will be a benefit to your child for the rest of his or her life. And the ability to read and understand the Bible is a gift, too. It's not a rule book. It's a love letter. The Lord is revealing himself and his character to us. If you raise your children up in the Word, you will be helping them to discover and do what God intended for their destinies. You'll be giving them a strong foundation that will help them out of any bad situation. They will know what pleases God and what he finds terrible. They will be able to live their lives with the guidance of the wisdom in the scripture and not have to lean on their parents or the media or any outside source for all of their adult life. You can help them to become the kind of grown person that will care for you when you're old or sick. And you can groom them into adults that can pray well, and then they can ask for mercy and protection for you and the rest of the family. And that is what I had, aside from this Canton Preparatory School that I came up on, and I never heard of anything like it. They say it's a tuition-free high school experience with personalized teaching that gives college prep, and when you graduate, you get a high school diploma and an associate's degree. So I just wanted to mention that school, too, in case anyone is interested. It's called National Heritage Academies, and it names Canton Preparatory High School as one of the schools.
Nice.
And that's
beautiful.
All I have.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
You know what? Yes, that was, Ms. Rebecca, because what you were talking about, I would like to, if you have the time, sit down and discuss that with you, because I want to get this Dan Koe book on that digital writing. because I remember, and a lot of people don't, and I'm glad you brought it out, because a lot of people don't embrace the art of writing. And I remember the partnership and accountability that my nephew and his mom had. And during the time, he had a close head injury, and he was in homeschool, and he was teaching her, and they would study together. And he was writing professionally and had more money in his pocket and made more money writing than some people made on their job. And I am glad that you brought this out, and it shows you how the Lord works and brings us back to how to pull a child back from losing a parent, and how he could pull them back to the things that they were taught for so many years. And it got kind of lost for 2 years. And when a child has learned how to make honest money, that kind of money, and all of a sudden they stop and they don't have nobody to understand, because everybody didn't know the blueprint. And when you don't know the blueprint, you can't hold people accountable for continuing something that they don't have any knowledge of. So to say that, I want to get with you and talk about some of the things. I was trying to write down the digital writing of the web page and all of those things that this gentleman was talking about, and I'm going to get that book. But going on to say what I'm speaking about today, because as of 20 minutes ago, what time? Before the show started, I think the Lord gave me an insight of what to speak about, because I had a blank. I had a blank. And the Lord just gave me information, and it showed how he worked through you to kind of bring all of this together. And we have not spoke today. So mine was about design the blueprint. And have your child do adult tasks. Miss Kathy, we have something that I work with my son, and he's 50. He'll be 51 this year. And I work with him, and I forgot about it. At the time, I was working, and that's when all of the fancy tennis shoes and they started making that to become a priority with kids, and everybody wanted the fancy things, and parents just didn't have that kind of money. So what I did one day, I got paid, I laid all the bills on the table, and I laid the check on the table, and I had him do what you call an adult task. Okay, we have to figure out how to budget all of these bills to make this check work and spread, and we have to have spending money, and we have to be able to have enjoyment, and I need you to sit down with me and show me how to do a budget. And I let him take the lead of counting the money and trying to squeeze all of these things that we needed to do in this money, and also with whatever money was coming in within the first paycheck of the month, and how many more paychecks, and we had to break it down. So teaching our children how to do a adult task also teaches them, and my son called me today, and he said, I'm going over my bills and calculating what I have spent and what's supposed to be spent, and I have a surplus. And I had to go back through it. What did I forget to pay? And he said, I forgot to call you so I could pay my insurance. Is it too late? And it brought back in my mind, the Lord brought back in my mind, hey, have your child do an adult task. Okay, peer pressure is on at school. Well, just take one of those paychecks and put the bills in front of them and let them call the bills in or pay the bills online and deduct that from the money and have that adult responsibility. So that's a lesson taught and in this life management. Another thing we've been doing is, and most kids at first, they don't understand this, and it only takes a few minutes with us. Let's sit down and have a conversation with our kids 5 minutes before they go to school, okay, about what their expectations are that day before they go to school. What are they, what are you, what roles do you think you need to play in school? And why do you need to be put in this position in school? Okay? What are you going to contribute to the school, like Miss Kathy said? We don't have to let the government clean up our neighborhoods. We need to clean up our neighborhoods. First, in our own home. Okay? Another thing is that prayer. Just not saying teach them how to interact with adults, but in the morning before you leave out, well, this, you know, let's do this 23rd Psalm. Miss Kathy was giving him a ride. Well, I'm running late today. I know you want me to do the prayer. Miss Kathy, you're in the car. He needs to do the prayer. Mm-hmm. So the thing about it is this prayer protected him throughout the day. Because his day could have went totally wrong. But the point is that interacting with them while you think you need to take the role and you lead the prayer today. Okay? In the morning time. You are the captain of the prayer team today in the household. So everybody has to repeat after you this prayer, including the adults. And then when you come home, you need to take a little time because our parents used to say we used to sit around and ate dinner together. Well, people don't eat dinner together because people have work schedules, they have activities, but guess what? Let's take a few minutes and have the prayer captain for us to read a verse, okay? And then it starts becoming familiar, like you were saying, you know, when you start reading the Bible. Also, see, we did the bill paying. Teach them how to interact with adults. Now, they know technology. They're these little babies on technology. They know how to get on. They're so in tune with these learning programs. I was listening to little Cooper say he's 2 years old, and he's saying his ABCs, and he was saying he counted to 10, and he counted to 10 in Spanish and in English. Well, it came to me, why don't we have a workshop where the students interact with the adults and teach them how to just not just turn on the computer, but how to understand the language of the computer, or teach them how to use their telephone, or teach them how to tablet. Even the babies know how with the click on to go on the tablet. Well, guess what? Interacting with adults. Let them start being the teacher to adults. And adults can appreciate them because now they have gained some independence that they would have been a lost group of people in society that don't know how to pay their bills online, don't know how to enter because everything is becoming paperless. So let's start using our youth to start turn the table and have them to start teaching us. And then we got to pray like you getting dressed. Well, every day we were taught, and this is a habit, when you get up, and I don't know too many people will walk out of their house and not brush their teeth. I bet you 99% of households, every morning, they're going to brush their teeth. So prayer is like brushing your teeth. It's expected. Like taking a shower. Then how come that ritual that you have to clean your body every day, why can't we incorporate as families prayer as a part of a ritual like brushing your teeth? So if you have to put, and I'm known for this, I will print out the prayer and I have it sticking up different places. How can you get your feet out of the bed on the floor? You look up, you got to see a prayer. When you walk down the hall, especially if you got an attitude, then we got to pray. And then we talk about attitude, energy. Instead of getting in a confrontation, let's talk about your energy. Let's talk about my energy. Could I have said it better? Could my energy have interacted with you better? Could your energy have interacted with me better? Okay, well, let's sit down and talk about it. So you have energy. Come in. Let's talk. Let's sit down and talk and address your energy. What do you think you can do better? How would you have handled that energy if you had to put it in another way? That goes back to what Ms. Rebecca said, 21 days to break a habit. Okay? The next one, I said, you did the prayer and how to care for the earth. One of the things that caring for the earth is making sure that we get in the habit of anything that, if you drink out of a cup, you left your DNA on the cup. Why do you want to share your DNA with the world and leave the cup in your bedroom? So let's get in the habit of part of caring for the world, picking up behind ourselves, making sure that those cups are put in there, whether you have a dishwasher or you are the dishwasher. Making sure you clean up behind yourself, because that's part of caring for the earth, picking up behind yourself and role play. So it came to me about how to keep a room clean. Well, let's pretend that you are in college and on the dorm, living in the dorm, and you got to share with other people. So you got to share the time in the shower. You got to share of a clean space, not, you know, bringing, laying your food around and whatever. So why don't we look, set your room up as your dorm space in college, and we're going to put everything in place because you are responsible for that. And that's what I, that came to me today, I guess 5 minutes before it was time to come on, because like I said that I'm working on it and I'm improving, but I have what you call behind the COVID delayed reaction. So that means that sometimes you go, they call it, I think, blog, fuzziness of the brain or whatever, and then it's delayed, and then you pick back up, and you, everything comes back to you. So because of that, I thank the Lord for giving me what to say today and making it work.
Oh, I thought that was lovely. I especially like the praying in the morning. Start out your day with prayer. That's good. The background noise is back.
Okay. Go ahead, yeah. Hello.
Oh, it's yeah. Better now.
You were saying before you got interrupted.
Oh, I was saying how I love what Sister Jackie was talking about, especially starting your day out with prayer. That was my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the churches, you know, before COVID and all of that, they were full. And the community was, I think the community was still pretty good, and people were going to church then. And so we have to get back to that. We have to get back to it. Involvement, you know, school, college, all this church, it all needs to be overhauled and redone. You know, bring back the family. The family needs to be brought back into the church and the community, and aware, being aware of what our roles are. Like Jackie said, a blueprint, you know. Family is a blueprint. Mm-hmm. And bringing prayer and Bible study and awareness and all that back into the home. Yeah. That's what we're missing. And Pastor O, he talked about that the last time we were on, how the families migrated from the South and got to working in factories, and then the mothers had to go out and work, and they acquired all these material things, and we just kind of started to think about the material things instead of thinking about God, so... it's kind of all out of order right now. And it's time to get back involved. Being involved, we had everybody helped. The church, the community leaders, we had the college tours, and the churches would support those college tours and send some of the kids on some of those Black college tours. And so those are some things that we need to get back into. Somebody called me recently about a college tour, if I knew if anyone had one going on. So I did, got the information from Ms. Jackie, because she had somebody that is involved in taking kids on a college tour. So I gave them that information. And then they choose to go. The parent and grandparent is going to make sure that she go, and then we're going to help out with her going also. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing to know that we have a child that's interested in going to college and bettering themselves. Okay. I like that about teaching the adults to interact, the kids to interact with the adults, because they really do help us out a lot with the things that we have a hard time learning, with the computer and how to use the phone and things like that. And then the habits and the conditioning. Love that, yes. If we get used to teaching our kids how to pray, saying their prayers before they go to sleep, and when they're 2 years old, they learn those things so quick. And we get them used to praying over their food and praying before they go to bed at night, getting on their knees. And if they see you doing it, because I saw my parents doing it, then that's habit forming. They can be conditioned to do that. So, yes, all those things. Okay, so that was some good, very, very good information. Very good. Let's see. Very good information. So, all right. Well, thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Rebecca. You guys are diamonds, and we're going to bring our pastor. Oh, if he's ready to join us, we'll be glad to have him, you know, now. let me see. Good old pastor. Oh, he is, you know. Pastor, are you with us?
Hey. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I had me a really, really good day. It was a different day.
Good.
Got a chance to go to the Detroit Autorama.
Oh, wow.
Because yeah. I got a chance to hang out with my brother, John, and Reverend overall, and we went down there and moseyed around. We used to be able to get through it in an hour, 2 hours. It's 4 hours today, but we had a good time. We had a good
time. The Autorama, where was that?
Oh, the Autorama is at the Huntington place. It's where it's all hot rods.
It's not the auto show. It's the Autorama, like you said, hot rods.
Right, it's all kinds of hot rods and motorcycles, go karts, and everything. They had some Evel Knievel stuff, you know, had a few of his creations and things that didn't quite go right. And, they even had to, when he shot himself across the Grand Canyon, they had that little spaceship he was in. But it was nice, it's a real nice event. Now, I wanted to go on Friday because I don't like crowds. So I thought Friday wouldn't be crowded. I was wrong. I was very wrong. Yeah, but still, had a good time.
Is that the first time you had that? I never heard of the Autorama. I probably haven't.
No. It's been there before I could drive. We used to go down on the bus, and we would go down on Sunday about 12 o'clock when it opened, stay there till about 9. I think on Sundays they would let out about 8 or 9 o'clock, and we would watch the cars drive out because we love to hear that noise. And then we go jump on the bus and be all the way home. And with your mom, you ain't got no car. You just making noise.
But Pastor, that was the thing back then. Our parents just let us get on the bus and we would go to different places and didn't have to worry about anything. And they trusted us to go.
Easter, we would go downtown to the Fox, and you could watch the movie over and over and over and over, and that's exactly what we would do, late into the night, and then get on the bus and go home. They had the Big Boy down there. We would go to the Big Boy, get something to eat, and then go home. Good times we had. Good conversation tonight, and you hit the nail on the head, and that's exactly why Bring Back the Family exists, because all this nonsense going on today with families. And the discussion is right. how do we get back in the house? You know, I was thinking about Joshua as I was listening to you guys talk. I thought about him and how he was Moses' servant. I want to read you something that he wrote when he was 110 years old. And then we're going to go back to where he started to see how he ended up here. This is Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15, 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, the ones they served beyond Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. God bless his word to into our heads, hearts, and be lived out in our life. You know, we hear a lot of people quote that. As for me and my house. And then you go over to their house and you say, well, no, maybe you, but the rest of them, they're not serving the Lord in here. That's easy to say, like giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Now, technically, in reality, he is the head of your life because he's sovereign. But in reality, what that means is, you literally do what he says every time you get ready to do something. So it's kind of a tall order. But in reality, he is because of his sovereignty, like he is sovereign over everybody. So it's easy to say these things. Joshua, at this point in his life, is 110 years old. He is about to go the way Moses went. He's about to go home to be with the Lord. But this is the end of the story. How did he get here? How did he? These are the children of Israel, right? Moses is gone. He's been gone now for some 40 years. He's gone, right? At this point, at the point when Joshua does become Israel's leader, he's 90. And he serves as leader, now as general, yeah, to conquer the land, yeah, but as leader, he served from age 90 to 110. As a leader. So how did he end up here in this position as the leader of all Israel? The one, these are the people that you remember when Moses had sent out the spies. Joshua and Caleb was two of those spies. And then there was the other 10. And they went and spied out the land that they now have conquered. They went and spied it out. That was at the beginning. Joshua was about 20 years old, as well as Caleb and the rest of them. They spy out the land and everything that the Lord told them, the land flowing with milk and honey, it was that. It was all that. But there was a problem. There were people in the land. There were giants in the land. These people had fortified cities in the land. These people were fighting warriors in the land. And Israel just come out of slavery. And now the call is to go over there and get what God promised you, but you're going to have to fight for it. You don't know how to fight, they do. You're going to have to trust God. They didn't. They came back and they said the 10, not Joshua and Caleb, but the 10. They said, yes, everything the Lord said is true. All of that is true. But to get it, they got fortified walls. They got giants, the descendants of Anak. They have warriors. They have weapons of iron, and all we have is bronze. When they strike our swords, bronze is brittle. It'll break. We can't get it. But Joshua and Caleb, they said something different. They said, we are more than able to get what God has promised us. We should get up and go get it now. And a big fight broke out. And the 10 had turned the hearts of the people toward their position, but against God. Only Joshua and Caleb trusted God. Even though the same realities, they didn't deny that there were giants. They didn't deny there were soldiers. They didn't deny there were fortified cities. They didn't deny any of that. But they just believed God could get them past all of that. Joshua at this age is 20. How did he get to be this kind of person at 20 years old? Where did this kind of faith come from? Joshua was in Egypt with them as a slave, but what kind of parents did he have? I was listening to Sister Jackie Vandegrift talking about bringing it back into the home, bringing prayer back in the home, making serving God a habit, so that we don't wait until they become teenagers and they don't want to. But you make it a habit. Listen to what, this is what happened to Joshua, okay? This is how Joshua became this person that we're talking about, this great leader of Israel, this person who actually went into the promised land, this person. These are the people Joshua is leading. Those people came back and said, those people over there are going to wear us out and make us slaves, and it's over. But the Lord was against those, the 10, and he was with Joshua and Caleb. And he told the 10 and the rest of Israel who had gotten behind the 10, since you deem yourselves unworthy of my promises, then you won't get them. You're going into this wilderness, and you will all stay in this wilderness until you die. All 2 million plus of them that came out of Egypt never made it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness going around that mountain for 40 years. How could Joshua, how could Caleb be this different? All their circumstances were the same. They were slaves in Israel, in Egypt, just like the rest of them. They went to the Red Sea. They came out after God plagued and beat Egypt upside the head, and they decided to let God's people go. And then Pharaoh changed his mind and chased them down at the Red Sea. Joshua saw the Red Sea just like the rest of them. They saw God make a smooth road for them to get their wagons and their feet, their kids and families and things across. How was Joshua different from them? This is how he was different. And if we want our children today to be different than they are, then we're going to have to do something different. And I guarantee you probably what's different is we don't teach Bible at home. And nowadays we don't even take them. It used to be parents would pull up, drop their kids off, and come back later for church. But they would drop them off for Sunday school. They cared that much. But then I was talking with a pastor, one of the members, and mentioned Sunday school. You know what they said? We don't have Sunday school anymore. We don't have any kids. Have people stopped having kids? Have parents who go to church, they no longer have children? How can you have no kids? You have adults. They're not all seniors. How is it you have no kids? So you have no Sunday school. Maybe it's because we don't take them anymore. But this is how Joshua was raised. This is how he became the man that he was at 110, the man that he was at 90, the man that he was for the 40 years getting the land, the man that he was when he was 20 years old. Here's how he became that man. Hear, O Israel. This is Deuteronomy. This is Moses. This is an awesome book right here. It's 2 hours and 8 minutes long if you just read it straight through. Moses is talking to the second generation. Their parents died in the wilderness. But God said about these, they said, our children going to go over there and become slaves. God said, the children that you said going to go over there and become slaves, they're going to go over there and conquer the land. And now Moses is giving them his swan song, his soliloquy, his last words. Because in chapter 33, he's going up the mountain and not coming back down. And Joshua writes chapter 34, then Joshua takes over. But here's the upbringing he had. This is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8 or 9. You probably heard me read it before. But listen to what the Lord says, and listen how intentional he expects us to be as parents. Now, look, parent, you're parenting every time you go around a child. So don't you dare say, I don't have no kids, I ain't no parent. He's talking to parents, he ain't talking to me. If you're around kids, you're parenting. If they speak to you, you're parenting. If you're in the grocery store and they start waving at you from the buggy, you're parenting. You're helping to raise them. You're imparting something to them. You impart something good or bad. You impart something every time you go into their presence. Understand what parenting is. It is not talking about this person or that person. It is talking about education. Education is not a person. It is teaching people how to something. And that's what parenting is. Because after a while, the kids become grown. And they still have parents, but they don't get parenting. And if they do, they fuss about it. Anyway, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, see, he's talking to the parents. But Joshua had these kinds of parents. What kind of parents, Pastor O? The kind of parents that love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength. That's always first. Even when folks get ready to get married, Ephesians 5 and 21 is the most important verse in all the rest of those verses. Out of reverence for Jesus Christ, submit to one another. So it starts out with a devoted love of God, a commitment to God, to do things God's way. And because that has to come first, then you can get into this part. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Notice he didn't say in your heads, in your memory. So you can run around quoting it like you're close to God. No, he said, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Because, see, he wasn't going to pass out no copies of a Bible if they didn't listen, if they didn't remember, they wouldn't know. They didn't have it like we have it. Remember, the first words ever that in history that we have preserving it, record-keeping, was Moses. And what did he preserve the word of God on? Tablets of stone. Everybody didn't have those tablets. So when he came down that mountain and spoke those Ten Commandments, if they wanted to remember them, they listened and heard. Because a lot of the folks weren't scribes, meaning they were illiterate. They could not read or write. They had an oral tradition. It wouldn't be until later that they could have them scrolls for themselves. Because you'll see it with Paul when he go into the synagogues. The first thing he do is grab one, unroll it, and start reading. They had to listen, and they had to absorb, and then they had to adsorb what they heard. God wants it in your heart. If God is not in your heart, let me tell you, if God is not, I'm not trying to be mean. People be like, Pastor, you're so mean. Look, If God is not in your heart, your kids don't go to Sunday school. If God is not in your heart, if he's not the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you ain't doing that, you don't go to Bible class, your kids don't go to Bible class, you don't teach Bible class ever in your house, you don't read your Bible because you're too busy. The devil got you like Martha. Like Jesus told her, Martha, 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 you are busy with a lot of things. But your sister Mary, who put all them things down and sat at my feet to get my word, she has chosen the good part. Now ask yourself, what part have you chosen? Parent, have you chosen the good part? If Jesus popped up in your house right now and wanted to do an evaluation of how you run in your house and how you're teaching your children the word of God, how you're teaching them how to pray, only you know what kind of marks you would get. You know what you're doing and not doing. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Notice God said, these commandments I give you today, I'm going to put on your hearts. If you want it, it's right here. Get it. That's what the Lord is saying. If you want my commandments in your heart, put them there. But they have to be above every other thing and every other person, place, thing, or thought. They got to be there. You have to do that. Listen to what he says. Impress them. This is what Jackie, I started to call her deaconess, Jackie Vandegrift. This is what she was talking about right here. Impress them on your children. That word, impress, does not mean, you know, a suggestion if they want to hear it. I mean, when you take that iron and you impress it on them clothes, I mean, you, amen, this word does not suggest them on your children. It says impress them. Be intentional. Impress them on your children. Make it like a tattoo. Impress it on them. Talk about it when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. How often do you talk about the Bible when you're sitting at home with your children? Somebody say, who does that? Should be you if you're a Christian and you have children around you. And when you walk along the road, well, we don't walk along the road a whole lot, but we go walking sometime. Do the Bible subjects come up? When you lie down before you take your nap or go to bed, is the word of God the last thing you talk about? And when you get up, I love it when I wake up in the morning. Why? Because before I put my feet on the floor, I give thanks to God for everything in my life. I thank him for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for the guardian angels. I thank him for my wife, running for Christ, all my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I thank him for my children and grandchildren, family and friends. And then put our prayer list up before him and ask him to move on that. And then I ask him about, you know, forgiveness for sins. And then it's on with the rest of the day. And then throughout the day, we talking again and again and again. And throughout the day, I'm constantly bringing up his word. So when you lie down and get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How important is the word of God? How important is knowing it? How important is it for you to teach it to your children? This is the kind of house that Joshua was raised in. Parents did this. Moses' parents did that. Joshua's Caleb's parents did that. They didn't magically become faith-filled people. Faith is knowing what God said and acting on it. Like Dr. Tony Evans say, faith is knowing what God said and acting like you believe it. Amen? Their parents built faith into them. Now, do you think Joshua's parents knew when they were raising him that he was going to become the leader of Israel? Do you think that Moses' parents, who to save their child, had to put him off in the water and just float him off and hope God take care of him, because Pharaoh had an edict out that all the little Jewish boys should be killed? Do you think his mother knew that he was going to become the one who lead them out of Egypt? So when you look back, when you study these people, these great Bible characters, when you look at Esther, you have to wonder, how does a 12, 13-year-old girl become queen? How does she run a country? I mean, not just a country like America. Back in those days, those people ran empires. They wanted, as you listen to Pastor Janice Tate teach about empires, they wanted to run the world and fancied themselves as gods. How does Esther, a little 13-year-old Jewish girl, end up running the Medo-Persian Empire? Well, you have to look back. And if you look back, God always gives clues as to how they ended up there. I used to ask Jesus, how did Peter, James, and John, how did they become your inner circle? You say you're not a respecter of persons, but clearly they was always your boys. What's up? And Jesus said any one of them could have done the exact same things they did, and they would have been in the exact same position. They could have went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, but they didn't press in. They just hung on. Some people like that. Some people join the church, and they press in like Rebecca and Edward Johnson. They joined the church and didn't sit in the back and stay quiet. They joined the church and pressed in. Anybody can do that. To become Jesus' inner circle, all you have to do is press in. What did the Lord say? And he said this to anybody who reads it. James chapter 4, I believe it's around verse 8. Come near to me, and I'll come near to you. And he tells us what we have to do. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, only trust, lean, and rely on me, and don't bring that crap with you. In other words, you wouldn't go. There are certain things we would not go around our parents doing. You know, sometimes you're smoking a cigarette, you're getting ready to come in your father or mother's house, you put it out. So the Lord is saying, wash your hands. He ain't telling you to cleanse yourself to make yourself right with him. That's already been done. He's talking to Christians, James writing to Christians, when he says, wash your hands, you sinners. And you double-minded. See, James is like, don't come to the Lord if you worship in the Lord and the lottery. Don't come to the Lord if you worship in the Lord and Buddha. Don't come over here with Allah or the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Don't come over here with that nonsense. I am the Lord alone. The Lord our God is how many? One. He's not the Lord and these people. No human being can stand next to God. So Joshua was raised in that kind of family. What am I saying to you? Joshua said, okay, he's 110 years old. He says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And he said it like this, choose you this day. In other words, there is a choice that has to be made. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the gods of your ancestors. In other words, things other than God, other things, places, people, or thoughts. person, place, thing, or thought, any of those get above God or in front of God, that's an idol. And the Lord will not play both sides of the fence. And he will not play with you on both sides of the fence. If you're over here, you're over there by yourself. You're not over there. If you're over there in sin, when you, like Peter, sink and cry out for Jesus, he'll come save you. If you're the sheep that has strayed away and you're in a horrible situation and can't fix it yourself, he'll come put you on his shoulders and carry you home. If you somehow the coin who's in the house but lost, well, he'll sweep and look until he finds you and restore you back to the rest of the coin so you have value. If you're the prodigal son who has gone crazy with your salvation because you can't lose it, but you can definitely suffer the consequences of not living it. And so he did that, and he ended up eating, wanting to eat what pigs were eating. That's how low he went. But he came to his senses, got up on his feet, humbled himself, and returned to his father's house. But each one of those situations, you don't want to be a strayed away lamb, because you can't fight. Like David said, he fought lions, he fought bears. Lambs can't do that. So you don't really want to be the lamb. You're in a bad situation. Neither do you want to be the lost coin, because guess what? A lost coin can't find itself, even though it know where it is, or think it does, but it cannot find itself. It cannot restore itself to the rest of the coins. And until it does, it has no value. And a prodigal son, even though he's the son of a rich man, can go as low as to eat with pigs. So the choice, so Joshua, when he says, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord," he didn't just get that right then. It was from a legacy that was passed from his parents who had that kind of faith to him. They did what Sister Vandegrift was talking about. They did what Sister Rebecca Johnson was talking about, what Deaconess Kathy Clyburn had been talking to you guys about for the longest. Bring God back in your house. Let him help you out. I think people believe if they bring God in their house, then they ain't gonna have no fun. Life gonna be boring. You gotta be super religious. You gotta be perfect and all. No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, really, you haven't read the Bible if you think God's servants gotta be perfect, because none of the people that I've been talking about were perfect. Joshua, oh, he was a great and awesome leader. But not so much in that little Ai incident where they chose not to ask God anything and go down to Ai with their own plan, and 36 people died. After conquering a bigger city called Jericho that had walls around it, the ones they said we couldn't tear down, God tore them down. Joshua was not supposed to make a treaty with anybody around there. But then the Gibeonites show up, okay? They say, oh, look at this bread. It's molded. It was brand new out the oven when we left. Oh, look at our clothes. When we left, it was brand new. And they tricked them into making a treaty. You know how they tricked them? The Bible lays it out. You know what it said? And they did not consult the Lord. They just made the deal. And they swore by the Lord they wouldn't attack them. And so when the ruse was discovered, well, nothing Joshua and them could do about it. You know why? Because they swore in the name of the Lord. So Joshua, he wasn't perfect either, okay? But what Joshua recognized is what David recognized. When you screw it all up, you write Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. For us today, we don't have to pray that, because those things can't even happen to us. We go to 1 John 1:9. All God wants is a confession. That's all he's ever wanted. What did he ask Adam and Eve for? Adam, where art thou? He's looking for a confession. But what did he get? I don't know. The woman you made, you know, he didn't confess. But what God wants for us, confession means this. I agree with you. Even if I'm in the wrong, I agree with you. You're right, and I'm wrong. And guess what God does? He forgives, and then he cleanses. And so, yeah, we have to bring parents. You have to bring the Bible back into your house. And you have to bring your children back into the church. And bring yourself back into the church. You have to learn the Bible so you can teach it to them. That's what God wants you to do. Stop asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with your little holy hands up in the air somewhere? God said what he wants you to teach your children. He says, raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know what that means? Not to be afraid of God, but to reverence God and to live according to his teaching. Why? So he can bless them in everything they do. That's all God wants. He wants you positioned to be blessed. Why? So he can make the world jealous of you. So he can make the world want what you got. So he can make the world, no matter what kind of family you got or how it ended up that kind of family, God wants to make that kind of family shine. See, a lot of people don't know. Mary, she was a single mom because Joseph died. And now she's a single mom raising these four boys, well, five, Jesus, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters. She's a single mom raising all these kids in that kind of culture. And look what she turned out. Well, we know Jesus. And we know his brother, James, became the pastor of the Jerusalem church, or the bishop of the Jerusalem church. Didn't he? And we know his other brother Jude wrote the book of Jude. Oh, they were non-believers in Mark 3:21 and James, John chapter 7, 3 through 5. They weren't feeling Jesus then, but Jesus kept living as for me in my house. And how did Jesus get like that? When I wrote my book, Jesus Christ, the first section is all about his birth and his childhood. And I had to do a lot of searching through Jewish history to find out what it was like for Jesus to grow up as a little boy in Nazareth. And guess you what? His daddy, Joseph, the one the Lord bragged on, calling him a righteous man. The angel said he's a righteous man. He went to sleep. He was a righteous man and tried to figure out how to get out of this thing without hurting Mary. The Lord said he was a righteous man. Joseph saw to it that Jesus was taught by a scribe how to read and write. Joseph saw to it that when Jesus reached a certain age, he started going to Bible school. Yes, he would read from the Torah. They would study the first five books of Moses. Then they would study the writings. Then they would study the prophets. And then they would learn how to interpret scripture. Joseph did that for Jesus. So when Jesus reaches 30 years old, oh, he's equipped. He's ready to go. We like to talk about Peter being a cussing person, but most people don't even know. It didn't mean that Peter was cursing. It meant he was calling down, I swear for God, I don't know him. That's literally what he was saying. He wasn't out there cussing. But people who don't read the scriptures think Peter cussed a lot. No, that's not what it was talking about. But when you look at Peter over in Acts chapter 2, his childhood comes in. His childhood comes in. You can tell what he was raised like and it's how that boy could. You look at all them scriptures he quoted. Now, of course, being filled with the Holy Spirit, John 14, Jesus told us the Holy Spirit would bring to our remembrance whatever he said to us. Look at Peter over there in chapter 2 and read all those scriptures he quoted. He didn't have no manuscript. That came right out his head from the Holy Spirit because it was in there. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit brought it out of there. If the Holy Spirit tried to bring the Word of God out of you, how much Word can he bring out of you? Remember where we started? These commandments that I give you today are to be on your what? Your hearts. You can't say, as for me and my house, we shall obey the Lord. If you don't even know what the Lord's commandments are, how can you obey them? Amen. So we got to bring the Word back into the house. One second.
Amen, Pastor.
Yes, we do. We have to bring the Word back into the house. And you can't bring your pastor home from church and say, Pastor, hold the Bible class in my house. You can't bring me there, no way. Anyway, that's you're the pastor of your house. If you're a single person and you have a house, you're the pastor there. Whoever, as when they come up in here, you say, as for me and my house, okay, because you're the head of that house. And so, and God recognizes you as the head of that house. You say what's happening in that house because you have subdued that area for the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah, so, yeah, we have to get it back. We've taken the Word of God out. You know, we keep trying to get prayer back in school. Parents, can I please tell you this?
Mm-hmm.
God can hear you when you don't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't make an audible sound, God can hear you. So teach your kids how to pray inside their heads in school.
Mm-hmm.
But tell them don't look like they're praying, and tell them don't tell nobody they're praying. Just talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Lord hears in secret, he'll reward openly. So if we want prayer back in school, teach your kids how to pray in silence.
That'll put it back in.
Because, see, prayer don't work if you do it illegally. And if it's illegal to be praying in school, unless you get permission from those at the school, like some people at River Rouge High School, when we was having our church service there, they came to ask, could me, Jonathan, and Deacon Tate come over and pray for them, for the football team.
Mm-hmm.
They asked us to do it. So it wasn't an illegal move. So we went over there, and Jonathan, since he was the younger, I allowed him to go ahead and be the one that prayed. And me and Deacon Tate was just there to support. So it has to be legal. You can't just barge up in the school and start praying. That's illegal.
Well, they make it illegal, but every time something happens, they all praying all over the world. Every time something tragic and crazy happens that gets everybody attention, then they're praying. So
it's the World Day of Prayer, right? I mean, Deacon is Clyde, but that's the same. I swear, I say, Lord, really? Oh, now they want to pray. Now we can come to the school and pray.
Yeah.
But before, when Madeline Murray O'Hare said prayer shouldn't be in school, and you know what? People say that she was evil. It's, you know, she was an atheist, so she didn't know no better. But anyway, they kind of blame her for that. But what she took advantage of, she just found a loophole. It really wasn't a loophole. It was the law. When this country was created, there was a separation of church and state, and there was a reason for that, because Europe was lording it over the people. And so people came here for religious freedom, except for the Puritans, the English separatists. But the rest of the Protestants and Catholics came here for religious freedom from oppression, forcing me to be this or that. If I don't want to be anything, I should be unmolested, right? And so America, it was intentional that the church don't run the state and the state don't run the church. If you knew Christian history, you do not want the church running the state, and you definitely don't want the state running the church. They tried it both ways, and they was just, you know why? Because you cannot co-opt God. He is not going to let the state run him. But he is going to run the state. But the way he does it is through the people who call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They let their light shine. They be the salt of the earth. And in that way, he demonstrates his will is when people see us Christians, they see the will of God being done on earth just like it is in heaven, or they should.
Mm-hmm.
That's why every time I get ready to leave the house, the Lord say, look, you going outside, you representing me. So none of that funny stuff, none of that stuff you... In other words, my parents used to tell me the same thing. We built up a good name in the community. Don't you go out there and mess it up. I'm like, Lord, not you saying that. But anyway, yeah. The Lord will be happy if we do that. If he see a church member listen to a sermon on Sunday and go home and relook at that sermon again, the Lord would be so happy.
Mm.
But we are so busy in life that the devil is tricky. He got us like Martha. When Jesus came over their house, he sat down, started teaching a Bible class. She over there in the kitchen getting the stuff together. You know, people got to eat. And so she's over there, but she's really mad. And then after a while, she's fuming, and she just come bust up in the Bible class, told Jesus, hey, shouldn't my teacher be over here? Shouldn't my sister be over here helping me in this kitchen? I'm over here trying to get this meal together for you and your boys. And she over here sitting at your feet, shouldn't she be helping me? And Jesus, he don't cut that tongue. He like, Martha, I love you, I really do. But, that can wait. Your sister done chose the good part. She done chose that which she will never lose. You chose temporal. She chose eternal. I'm just saying. And so, and I think that's what we're doing today, and the devil is good with that. He'll make us so busy. We don't have time to go to church. We don't have time to teach our kids the Bible. We don't have time to do nothing for the Lord. We just have time to do everything for somebody, but not the Lord. We just don't have the time. Or we've given so much time and energy to the world that when it comes to Sunday, we can't even go to church because that's the only day I got off. And I went out and partied Saturday, so I'm going to rest Sunday. I love Jesus. He know it. And that's where we are. And then before you know it, you're standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus gave you a job to do. You shall be my witnesses. How many people you lead to Christ? Lecrae say this and I'm going to quit. Lecrae say, and it really just tore me up when I first heard it, but I was glad that I was a witness. He said that I'd hate to die and stand before the Lord having never led someone to Christ before. That's got to be the worst way to go to heaven. That's got to be the absolute worst way to go to heaven. You go to heaven, but you ain't never told nobody about Jesus. You ain't never led nobody to Christ. Well, what in the world were you doing for Jesus? You shall be my witnesses in your home, Jerusalem. That's your house. It's where you live. Your kids, your family, your friends, your street. That's Jerusalem. Are you a witness there? Are you in Judea, your city, your county, your state, and your nation? Have you gone to the Samaritans, them people down the street that, you walk on the other side when you go past the house? Have you gone to them to tell them about Jesus? They need Jesus too. That's why you're going on the other side of the street. They get Jesus. You don't have to do that. Or have you taken the word to the uttermost parts of the earth? Are you using Facebook to show people what you just ate or eating? Or where you been, or what you doing, your trip you on, why people robbing your house. That's crazy. Okay? Because they know you're out of town. Or are you using it to reach out for Jesus? I don't know when it's going to end, but sooner or later, Satan's going to figure out that a lot of Christians are using Facebook, X, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and Tumblr. I got all of that, and I got a YouTube channel, and I use all of it while I can to reach out for Jesus. Because that's the only way I can get to the uttermost parts of the earth. I ain't got a plane. So, unless y'all want to buy me a $65 million plane so I can take the word of God to the world, I would love to do that. Everywhere they got a drag strip, I would go straight there, tell them the word. Praise the Lord. Since I'm there, I might as well raise. But anyway, amen. That's the job.
See how you still, see, like you say, you still can have fun being a Christian.
You know, when I won my first round of drag racing back in 1998, August of 98, at the Night of Fire, that's the name of that race, I not only won one round, but I was winning on and on and on. And this lady came up with her son. And she said, little whatever his name was, see, you can, because the reason the car was called Runner for Christ, and I was on my window, it says Reverend Gerald M. Overall. So a preacher out here drag racing, and she told her son exactly what you just said. See, Body, I don't know if that was his name, but see, you can have fun and be a Christian too.
That's right.
And I signed his little shirt, and then he went on off with his mom. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew that the Runner for Christ thing was bigger than consoling me, because I lost every single race for a whole 2 years. Jesus, like, how bad can you be? But that's how the name Runner for Christ became Runner for Christ, is because I was losing every single race round one. And so I named the car Runner for Christ to be a witness, because I definitely wasn't winning. So I could win by witnessing.
Yeah. Yep. You have lots of fun. You have good, wholesome fun with good peace and happiness and genuine happiness. You know, it's easy to bring everything else in our life and trust it, but we don't want to trust, bring God in our life and trust him. So it's easy to bring everything else in, though. But, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
What you just said, it's easy, but we don't want to trust him. Mm-hmm. We'll go somewhere and work a whole week and trust those people going to give us a check at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But we will not trust God like that.
Yeah. Man, he's the winner. Wow, that's some good stuff. Good stuff all the way around. Well-rounded conversation today. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, what we got going on tomorrow? Oh, you know, and who was that who said they don't have any kids at the church? That's why they don't have Bible study. I'll bring them some kids. They need some.
I'm not going to put them. I don't want to put them out there.
Let me know later. I'll bring them. I saw a whole gang. All they have to do is ride down Bassett Street, and it's a whole gang of little boys. And they are, it's like, they, it's about 15 of them. It looks like 15 because there's so many of them. And they all the same size. So I don't know if they are the same age, but they are the same size, and they're just little people. Maybe like 6 or 7, maybe 5, 6, 7. But they are the same height and size and everything, and they just in a big old little crowd on their street. And I'm like, I'm getting them kids. And it's all
I know,
because
they...
It's all boys. It's like a whole bunch of them, about 15 of them.
I know.
It's like being a big old patch.
It's like the ones that be right next door to me. They be over in this field playing baseball and football, and I'm like, you know, here's the youth department right here.
You know? They're everywhere. And I was glad to see them outside. So they're not looking too far if they want kids, because it's kids out here. I'm bringing some kids now. Sarah's going to get me when I bring all them kids, because I'm going to get them. It's a whole gang of them.
I know. You're going to be like, what is he doing to me?
It's all boys. I said, oh, we need to get them. All boys. I'm tired of my little boys growing up men and being locked up in cages. I just can't stand it. It's just bad.
It is. And when you get into it, Janice hooked me up in Madeline and took me downtown to this place by Frank Murphy. It's a youth. It was a youth facility, and they took me in to speak to the young. You know, Kat, it was a room that had bleachers in it, like a basketball game at the high school or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know it was full from one end to the other?
Oh, yes, sir.
And I, you know, that right there, you know, that'll make you think somebody got to do something.
Have to.
You know.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I tell this story. I want, you know, my little man is locked up. It hurts my heart to even just say it. And he called me yesterday and said, Kat, it's a boy in here that know you. And I was like, what?
Well, you know.
This is not right. So I don't want all the kids to know me in that kind of place. I want them to know me in a different place. So we have to round these kids up and make a better life for them and know that that is not the place for them to be. I don't know if they think that's where they're supposed to be, but that is not the place for them to be.
No. Not at all. God got a hold. That is not God's plan for them. That is Satan's detour. That is not God's plan for them. And, you know, that's why you can never stop praying. I mean, think about it. Even though Paul was raised in an awesome home and taught Judaism so that he was steeped in it, right? But the only thing that changed him was prayer, okay? Somebody had to be praying for him to get him to well, I guess the Christians who he was jacking was praying. I'm sure, but Paul was something else. But the Lord found him one day, and as bad as he was, became somebody who wrote 13 books of the New Testament. I don't even believe Paul could fathom that. I don't even believe he could even believe how good God was to him and how he picked him up and turned his life all the way around.
Yeah. We do have to pray. We do. When we say we pray, we really do have to. We have to make that a habit and be conditioned to do that for sure, because it's really needed now. Holy, that's a lot. Okay, well, Pastor, well, what you got going on tomorrow?
Tomorrow, this second Sunday, is going to be Pastor Terrence Tate. Or is it the first Saturday? What Saturday is it?
Saturday.
Ooh, that's Pastor Jonathan Tate. Jonathan Tate will be preaching tomorrow. And then Sunday, we're going to be talking about unevenly yoked together, plus Sunday school every Sunday at 9 o'clock. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. Come on out if you, amen, you need to go to Sunday school. Everybody needs to go to Sunday school. And she is one awesome teacher. She's going to break that word up, break it down, make it completely palatable to you, and you'll be able to get it and live it out in your everyday life. And it's free. So come on out and join in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah,
go to rfcm.org, rfcm.org, and you can get all the information you need on everything. Find jobs over there and get help, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Pastor Earl. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Jackie and all the listeners, Mother Irma, Henry, Kenny, Clyburn, all you listeners out there, thank you for listening. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family so that they can listen and get busy on their block with the youth that they see on their block and find out what it is that they need and just work with them. It's another organization that we are about to hook up with that is doing basically the same thing that we're doing. And so they're going to come on one day and we're going to talk to them about all that they're doing. And so it is some groups out there that are doing things for the young folks, for the kids, for youth, because they do see a need. They see a need. And so they're taking the kids from like 4 years old on up and just mentoring them and staying with them until they get out of high school and going into college. They're going to stay with them step by step. So, you know, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's about. So there is a lot of groups and organizations out there that see the news, that see what's going on around us, and they don't want to be victims, so they're helping out. So we just thank God for them, and we are going to, you know, just keep on praying for our young men that are, you know, in these facilities that, you know, on timeout, and pray for them. And that they, you know, come out of there and be stronger and take their place in life and in this world where they're supposed to be and not, you know, behind these bars. We have to get our kids on the straight and narrow so that they don't even think about going that way. Okay? All right. So, yeah, pray for one another and... And that's all we could say. All right, so everybody good? Everybody clear?
Okay.
All good.
Okay. Well,
I'm over here just clicking away.
Huh?
I'm over here just clicking away.
Yep, if you don't have a church home to go to on Sunday, then come on over to Run of Christ Ministry. We really have a good time over there. Get the good fresh word, and we love on each other, and hey, come on, get a blessing. And that's on in E-Course on 11th Street and Otter Drive, 28075?
27085 West Otter Drive.
27085 West Side of Drive, Run for Christ Ministries. Love to have you. Okay? All right. Here we go. We'll see you next week with another subject on Bring Back the Family. If you don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping later. All right. Ciao.
Next.